We've got more tickets tomorrow morning to the Algonquin Playhouse as they present the world premiere of the musical The Nutty Professor, now through August 6th at the Playhouse on Route 1 in Algonquin, Maine. Congratulations to our winners this morning. For shows and ticket information, you can log on to AlgonquinPlayhouse.org. That's AlgonquinPlayhouse.org. And joining me this morning on our newsmaker line, mystery novelist, playwright, composer, arranger, screenwriter, conductor, singer, songwriter, I think he does everything in the world of show business, including the lyricist for The Nutty Professor, the world premiere musical at the Algonquin Playhouse. We welcome into our program Rupert Holmes. Rupert, good morning. Welcome to New Hampshire and Maine, and thanks for joining me this morning. Great to have you here.
It's great to be here. Great to be with you, Mike, and especially great to take in this wonderful weather we're having today. And I do love the idea of Thursday being a Friday Eve. I think Thursday is the new Friday, and in some places in L.A., Monday is the new Tuesday.
I like it. Rupert, I got to ask you about one thing first before we talk about the great world premiere of the musical, The Nutty Professor.
Sure.
How many times do you think you have sung Escape, the Pina Colada song? How many times do you think
you mean if you like pina coladas, get caught in the rain. Yes. Well, I sang it about half an hour ago, Mike. I usually try to sing it sometime before 8 in the morning, and then I sing it usually every 3 hours after that. It's amazing when, you know, that was, it's hard to believe that I recorded that song I think 1979, 1980 was number one. And I have never stopped doing it. And I don't mind it anymore because it genuinely makes people happy, and it makes them, it triggers in them, I think, when they hear it, some part of their lives that they associate, some wonderful summer, some parties, some just a vacation, and it triggers that. And it's kind of nice to do that for people. I had the pleasure of being part of the interior decorating of a lot of people's lives.
I have to tell you, my side hustle, I do some mobile DJ work, and I play music for weddings and parties and corporate functions. Uh-huh. And I got to tell you, I play that song very frequently. Thank you very much for that. and I agree with you. It brings people back to a great time in their life, and it's nothing but smiles and good times on the dance floor. So thanks for that song and all the music that you've given us. But a lot of people don't realize that you have written, you know, screenplays and writing. You're the lyricist for this particular musical theater, the world premiere musical, The Nutty Professor. Talk about this, because this is interesting. I'm old enough to remember Jerry Lewis, I think, in the 60s, The Nutty Professor. A lot of our audience will remember Eddie Murphy with the remake of The Nutty Professor. But where did the musical idea come from to put to this comedy a musical? Where did it all come from?
Well, it came from Jerry Lewis, believe it or not. Some 12 years ago. Jerry said to his good friend Marvin Hamlisch, one of the greatest songwriters in American theater, he wrote a chorus line, he wrote The Way We Were. He said, I've always wanted to make a musical out of this. And Marvin said, let's do it, and called me. And we went and met with Jerry and decided to bring it up to date, to tell the story anew in a fresh way, but to bring this wonderful Jekyll and Hyde love story to a musical stage, and it takes to it so naturally. And the only reason that you haven't heard of it in the last 10 years is that we did our first out-of-town try. It went fantastically. We won 10 local theater awards, and then, unfortunately, my dear partner, Marvin Hamlisch, died. It'll be 10 years ago this August. And because of legal complications with that and the Jerry Lewis estate had some problems because Jerry then passed away, we have not been able to perform this show legally for 10 years. And we took us that long to get all the red tape out of the way. And so we are having, like, essentially a world premiere of this musical, this Marvin Hamlisch, Rupert Holmes musical, based on Jerry Lewis's classic film, at Algonquin, at the Algonquin Playhouse. And the response here is out of control. I've never seen such a thing. I've done 8 Broadway shows, Mike, and I've never had one at this stage of its development get the kind of audience response we're getting. It's a beautiful and very tender and endearing story. It's not crass or brash or anything like that. So we're having the time of our lives here. We really are.
When you write for a play or write for a musical and you take a story like The Nutty Professor, which is just, you know, kind of wacky comedy. I mean,
it is.
You know, it's just wacky comedy. Where do you get the ideas? I mean, do you look at the main story first, or does the music come first? Did the music from Marvin Hamlisch come first, or did your writing come first? What came first there?
Well, Marvin and I wrote the songs for this show sort of simultaneously, you know, we were very much on the same wavelength. You're correct, Mike. It is a wacky story. That's why it is a nutty professor. It is about a man who's shy and timid and decides to create a formula from something that will transform him into the coolest guy on Earth. Basically, I think Jerry Lewis, when he originally conceived it, thought of the Jerry Lewis character as being the professor, sort of the sad sack, you know, no one spends any time paying attention to, and transforming himself into essentially the coolest version of Dean Martin there ever was, Jerry Lewis's old comedy partner. And what we've tried to do is, even though the story is still set in the 60s, because it's such a part of that, you know, we have a lot of cheerleading going on, and so much of the story lends itself to dance. We have incredible choreography with a stunning dance ensemble. It just naturally, the music seemed to spring from the story organically, and we had no trouble finding where the songs go, and especially where the love songs go. And it's an interesting show because you've got this star Dan DeLuca, who's playing the lead, except he's playing two leads. He's playing two completely different characters. And the audience is going mad for him. At the end of Act 1, they're cheering him, and the show's only half over. And at the end of Act 2, they are galvanized. They can't wait to stand and give him just this roaring standing ovation.
Yeah.
And his love interest is played by Elena Ricardo, is touching and gritty and anticipating sort of the women of today.
It's so great that, you know, live theater is back after this COVID break.
Oh, we've really missed it. And I think the audiences are enjoying remembering how exciting and electrifying that can be.
Yeah, we're speaking to Rupert Holmes this morning here on The Pulse of New Hampshire. I have to ask you, you know, you have written so many fun songs, and I think the real tribute to songwriters, whether it's Paul Simon or Lennon McCartney or Rupert Holmes, is when songs that you have written have been recorded by other artists. And a lot of your songs have been recorded by other artists. And that's got to be very gratifying to you because, you know, these are great artists. We're talking about people like Dionne Warwick and Barry Manilow and Judy Collins, those type of people. And they obviously see a good song in what you've put out there on the musical canvas. You know what I mean? So it must be very gratifying to you to have your songs not only sung by yourself, but sung by other people as well.
Well, a huge turning point in my career, Mike, came from an unexpected source. I had just put out my very first album as a singer-songwriter, and I get a phone call, and a voice says, "Hi, this is Barbara Streisand. I've just listened to your album. I want to record your song. I see that you do all your own arrangements. I want you to fly out to L.A. We'll make an album together." And we did. And this is, I thought it was someone, I said to this voice on the phone, "That's the worst impression of Barbara Streisand I've ever heard."
That's funny.
And it turned out that it was her.
Yeah.
It was her. And you talk about how gratifying that must be. To go out to L.A. and sit at a piano and play a new song I had written for Barbara, and the first voice that ever sings this song is Barbara Streisand, and as she sings it, it's on a record already. It's just an astounding feeling. Same thing with Barry Manilow. He heard a song of mine that touched him and spoke for him, and suddenly he was singing it as if it was his own song, and made it even more meaningful to me. So when all these people, Dionne Warwick, I grew up loving her music. I mean, even David Cassidy in the Partridge Family, when he recorded one of my tunes, I thought, well, that's that show that I loved as a kid. He's doing it, you know. So just it's the ultimate compliment that someone you admire would lend their voice to your own work.
Yeah. Did you come from a musical background? Was your family musically inclined?
Yeah, I was very lucky. I was blessed. My father was an amazing fellow. He was a Juilliard graduate, the Juilliard School of Music. So he had a complete classical background, but he was also a lead alto saxophone player in the big band era. And so for him, there were only two types of music, good and bad. And so I grew up in a household where you heard jazz and Mozart and Ravel and Debussy and the Everly Brothers and eventually the Beatles, Gilbert and Sullivan. And I just grew up out of this ocean of all kinds of musical influences. And they actually show up in the Nutty Professor. We have a couple of moments where I said to Marvin, "Let's do something that sounds almost like it's in a Gilbert Sullivan operetta here. And now let's do something that's like really big jazz dance with a brass blasting the walls off." And so we built a lot of that into our musical.
Yeah, so you were listening to everything as a kid growing up then, everything.
I was. I could hum you the things that are people's ringtones, you know, like Mozart's 40th. I could sing that when I was five. by the way, got beat up for it a couple of times. Oh, he's the guy who sings Mozart.
There you go.
yeah, but it all balanced out.
Sounds good. Rupert Holmes, our guest this morning here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. He, of course, is with his late partner, Marvin Hamlisch, the lyrics and book by Rupert Holmes for The Nutty Professional, the world premiere musical at the Agonqua Playhouse. Audiences are loving it. And we're going to give away more tickets tomorrow morning here on the Pulse of New Hampshire's Morning Information Center. It goes on through August 6th, a nice run for the summertime. And for shows and ticket information, you can log on to agonquaplayhouse.org. Rupert, great to talk to you. Thanks for sharing some of your career with us today. And thanks for the music. We do appreciate it. And good luck with the Nutty Professor at the Agonquin all this month. We'd appreciate it very much for your time.
Thank you, Mike. Great to be on your airwaves. Great to be in the area. I really appreciate it.
All right. Enjoy the wonderful seacoast of New Hampshire, Maine. It's gorgeous, no doubt.
Oh, indeed it is.
Thank you, Rupert.